Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful day, for the chance to worship, for the Thanksgiving season, for Christian radio, for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity that we have in this perhaps the greatest nation on earth of all time, to come on Sunday mornings to worship you. Thank you for the privileges that we enjoy, the blessings that we enjoy. Help us not to take them for granted. Help us not to squander them. Help us in the church, Father, not to be so filled with pride that we forget that these blessings have come at your hand. And so, Father, we have come today with hearts that are thankful, hearts that are heavy, hearts that are hurting, hearts that are lost, hearts that are wondering, hearts that have questions. And not only in this building, but in buildings all over our community and all over this nation, Father, we have come this morning and we want to hear from you. We want to love you more. We want to worship you. We want to surrender to you, not just in word, but in deed, surrender to you, the living God. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, that in this service and in the next church and the next all over our region and all over America, that your presence would be so powerful that eyes would be open, ears attentive, hearts changed, lives transformed. And when we leave our place of worship, we will want to serve you more, and we can't wait to get back in your presence. And so I pray that you would guide us here today as we continue to worship you. I pray that you would help us to hear from you the word that you have put on my heart. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I figured as long as I wore a suit the last 2 days for funeral, I just as well wear one now. I had blue jeans on last Sunday, so I figured I better dress up a little more this week. But I tell you what, God has laid a word on my heart that is not easy to share. And I know it's Thanksgiving, and the next 2 Sundays we're going to be thankful, we're going to praise the Lord, we're going to worship Him together, but God has laid a word on my heart today that's been there for a couple weeks, and it just gives me, like I've told you over the course of time, it just gives me almost pain and heaviness to even have to talk about this. But I've entitled my topic today, Excuses. You say, Jim, what are you talking about? Well, if you think about the Bible, you think about stories in the Bible, and you think about people like Eve. When God said to her, "What have you done?" She started making excuses. And he said to Adam, "What have you done?" And he started making excuses. And Moses asked Aaron, you remember when the old golden calf kind of appeared? Moses come down off the mountain and he asked Aaron, "What have you done?" And he started making excuses. "Well, we threw this gold in the fire and out popped this calf, lo and behold." Excuses. Ananias and Sapphira, and all kinds of others. King Saul, when Samuel didn't show up at the appropriate time, took matters into his own hand, and then made excuses. I don't know if you've read Leviticus lately. Anybody read Leviticus lately? It's a little bit less exciting than some. But I just read Leviticus lately too. And in the first 7 chapters of Leviticus, I'm reminded how seriously God takes sin. Not just then, but now. How seriously God takes sin. And for 7 chapters, He reminded the children of Israel, when they sin, what to do about it. And I read through that thinking, I come away from those chapters thinking once again Not only does God take sin seriously, and through the ritual of sacrifice, He wanted to remind people, them then and us today, beware, be very aware of your sin. Because sin separates us from God. And the longer we wander down that sin path, the farther we get away from God. And when I look around our nation, and I read Christian publications, and I talk to some of you, and I'm talked to by some of you, and people at large in society, I wonder, friends, are we minimizing sin? I know that the world is, okay? You know that and I know that. Right? We know that. The world is minimizing sin. We no longer know right from wrong. We no longer have any absolutes. And I fear that today, even in the church, we have fallen into this trap of minimizing sin. Yeah, but Jim, yeah, but preacher, it was just a little sin. And sometimes I wonder if within the culture that is all over our society, we in the church then began to make excuses for our sin. Matter of fact, I don't wonder. I know I've heard them. And I wonder, as Patrick Morley, the guy in Man in the Mirror, who in his book, he's read a lot of good book, written a lot of good books. In one of them I'm reading right now, it's called Pastoring Men. Patrick Morley says, we have become way too often cultural Christians. Cultural Christians that actually look more like the world than reflecting the image of Jesus. And I wonder sometimes if we are aware of our sin, or if we're just minimizing that sin, or if we are actually making excuses for our sin. And I wonder if Morley isn't right when he says, I see way too much we have become a cultural Christian, and instead of reflecting the image of Jesus, the church too often times is reflecting the image of the world and in thinking it's no big deal. Those of you that are here just a couple, three short weeks ago, remember we talked about the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. And we were reminded of what Jesus thought about lukewarm church. We know good and well what the Bible says about sin. It's full of instruction about sin. From way back what Billy Graham used to preach on it, and not only has Rick listened to Billy, and some of the rest of us have over the years, and some of us have come to Christ through his ministry. I love one of the sermons he used to preach a long time ago from Numbers 32:23 that said, and be sure your sin's going to find you out. It's going to catch up to you. I love listening to it when he preached and proclaimed with authority, sin will catch up to you. If not in this life, it will catch up to you in Judgment Day. And so we've got all this instruction in the Word. And Romans 1 and 6 reminds us, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, no, we are supposed to have died to sin. And he says in that same chapter of Romans 6, do not let sin reign any longer in your mortal bodies. He's talking to the church. And he also says in that same chapter of Romans 6 and verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you anymore. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. The world hasn't figured out right and wrong. They haven't figured out we must be born again. They haven't figured out how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's talking to the church, and he said, sin shall not have dominion over you anymore when you come to Christ. And he says in that same chapter of Romans 6 and 15, shall we just keep on sinning because we're not under the law but under grace? And he says, absolutely not. God's word to His people is clear about sin. Now, I would ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 6, while I grab my water jug. You might be wondering, what's the point, preacher? Hang on, we'll get there. 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 6. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. You see, brothers and sisters, that's the goal for Christian conduct. You say, yeah, but Jim, I'm just some old sinner. The goal for Christian conduct is that we might not sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says no. I write these things to you, John said, so that you in the church may not sin. And of course, we know if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Praise be to God. We have the shed blood of Jesus. But the shed blood of Jesus, brothers and sisters, does not give us a license to keep sinning. The grace of God, and we can use that for an argument all day long because I have heard it. Yeah, but, I'm under grace, and where grace doth abound, sin doth abound, grace doth abound more. The shed blood of Jesus does not give the church a license to sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. John is saying to the church in 95 AD, the churches were new. They had seen, some of these had seen Jesus with their own eyes. And John is writing and saying to the church at that time, we know that we know Him if we obey Him, if we keep His commandments, if we follow Him. That's how the world will know that He's real. And that's how the world will know that He has taken up residence in you and I. If we keep His commandments, if we obey Him, if we surrender ourselves, sir, and deny ourselves and follow Him, that's how people will know Jesus is real. And John writes, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and doesn't keep His commandments, John says, is a liar. Yeah, but Jim, I know Him. Yeah, but Jim, I believe in Him. And doesn't have a clue about walking with Jesus, John says, is a liar. That's between you and God. I'm just reading Scripture. But if you claim to know Him today, brothers and sisters, if anybody else claims to know Him and we walk like the world, there is a problem yet. There is something wrong. There is a disconnect. There is a misunderstanding at minimum. Anybody, John says, that says, I know Him and doesn't keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected to him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him, that's Jesus, ought himself also to walk as He, that's Jesus, walked. That is our instruction, to walk as Jesus walked. We got all kind of scripture that tell us as believers that sin should no longer be reigning in our lives. But way too often, not only is it still raining, we make excuses for it, even in the church. Friends, if we have been born of the Spirit of God and we are still making excuses for sin, there's something more to address, I assure you. It's just like I've said this quoted from Waltrip over and over, and I'll say it one more time. When we come to know Christ in a surrendered way, deny ourselves kind of way, repent of our sins kind of way, He will change you. Just like He changed Rick and just like He changed me. He will change our behaviors. He will change our actions. He will help you with them addictions. He will help you with that stuff that bogged us down. And if we say we know Jesus Christ and we're still living in sin, are gravitating towards sin, are finding ourselves loving sin more than Jesus, there is still a problem. There's something wrong yet in our lives. We wonder why the world in America looks like it does, because Christians have been making excuses for sin way too long. We wonder why we're going to hell in a handbasket. We wonder why things happen the way they do in France. Because the church is making excuses for sin. I see way too often, brothers and sisters, we want to know Jesus. We want to claim Him as Lord. We want to say, I'm a Christian, and we want one foot planted firmly in the world. The world is fun. The world has attractions. The world is a happy place. And we want some of that too. And we want to make excuses for our worldly behavior. I don't know about you, friends, but I see all this stuff happening. And I hear all this stuff. And I'm told this. And I talk to you and I talk to people about it. And I see this conflict. This conflict of this war, this spiritual war raging on, where we, God's people, are supposed to be set apart as holy. Pastor Les is going to talk about that tonight, by the way. I can't be here. I've got to lead another Bible someplace else. But I would encourage you, 6 o'clock tonight, come and listen to Pastor Les. He's going to talk about being holy. That's what we're called to be. Holy, not the world. The world ain't holy. He's called His church to be holy. Why? So that the world will see the holiness in the church and want to know Jesus. But when we are living in the world and we are mad at each other and we're backbiting and we're lying and we're gossiping and we're drinking too much and we're doing this and we're doing that and then making excuses for it, the world ain't seeing Jesus, brothers and sisters. Ain't seeing Jesus, they're seeing the world. I got a friend down in a church right now. He's lost 30, 40 people, and he only had 70 to begin with. You know why? Because he ain't preaching out of the right translation. There's an excuse for you. We hold on to this anger, and we make excuses for our behaviors. We ain't living holy lives. We ain't living godly lives when we walk out of the church, and the man was preaching from a translation. And they say, we don't want that translation. That's not how God's people should act. Not preaching out of the right translation. We hang on to this. We're looking for excuses to not walk with Jesus. We're looking for excuses to not like the pastor and what he says. He don't say it this way, or he don't say it that way, or he ain't preaching out of the right translation. I ain't listening to him no more. We come up with excuses. Why we don't want to stay close to Jesus, because we want some of the world too. On Friday night we got more ambition and we got more energy on Saturday night than we do on Sunday morning, because we want a little bit of the world and we don't want much of Jesus. And it is about time, brothers and sisters, not just us, and I know we're just a small part of the body of believers in America, but it's about time that believers stop making excuses for our sin. And start living for Jesus. I haven't wanted to preach this. I knew what God put on my heart, because it starts with Jim. It starts with the preachers. It starts with the leaders of the church to stop making excuses for sin and start living holy lives. Start living for Him and stop living for the world. We wonder why we're in such a mess. Well, I'll tell you, because the church ain't praying and the church is making excuses for sin. That's why we got what we got in America. We didn't get here by accident.
We got here because the church ain't holy anymore. We got here because the church has decided it's fun living in the world. I don't have time to go to church, maybe but once a month. Did you read that article? Did you read that newsletter I handed out last week? Did you see that little quip I put in there about one particular church? They're thinking about going to once a month. Did you see that? I think we'll just go ahead and have church once a month. You think God is pleased with that, brothers and sisters? Do you think the Creator of the universe is happy with people that say, yeah, I'm a believer. You bet, preacher. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. And we got 1 hour a month to give to you. You think He's happy with that? That's not being holy. I go back to Leviticus and I see what he wrote in Leviticus. And they had to sacrifice and they had to shed blood even for unintentional sin. You think God might take sin a little more seriously than we've been taking it the last few generations? I think God is sick and tired of lukewarm churches. I think He's sick and tired of people claiming the name of Jesus and walking in the world. I think He's sick sometimes of my behavior, and I got to get on my knees and repent before Him. And I would suggest that we, friends, have a heart that's repentant. Have a heart that longs to be holy. Have a heart that longs to not hang on to this bitterness. Now, I ain't forgiven them. They wronged me. I ain't listened to that preacher. He said something wrong. Get rid of that stuff and start letting Jesus lead us. And so the world genuinely sees Jesus in the church and we stop making excuses for sin. I don't know about you, friends. But I read some of these passages in the Bible, New and Old Testament alike. And it drives me to my knees in repentance. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive my family. Father, forgive my church friends. Father, forgive America. Forgive our president. I read some of these passages about sin. And I read about some of these people, and some of them pillars in the Bible, making excuses for our sin. God isn't happy with that. He's not happy with us making excuses for sin. He wants us to walk with Jesus. John is really, really clear in this passage, friends. If we say we know Him, then start walking like Him. And if we ain't walking like Him, then repent of our sin and call upon Him and let His Spirit fill us up and transform us and so that sin doesn't have any more appeal. Well, time is up and I'm not done. You're the lucky ones because you know there's another service coming, and so I got to quit and you get to go home. Or you see why my heart has been so heavy the last 2 weeks that God has put this on my heart? I shouldn't have to talk to the church about this. God shouldn't have to talk to me about it. But He does every now and then. We argue away holiness because we want to do what we want to do. We're filled with lust and covetousness because we want what the world has. We got so much now, we don't know what to do with it, and we want some more. Let me just say another thing before I close. I could say a lot more because I had more to say, but I think I've said enough. It breaks my heart to have to put together sermons like this, but I believe it was of God. I really do. But the one more thing I'm going to say is about sexuality. God created sexual intimacy for one man and one woman in the confines of marriage. Everything else is sin. Fornication, adultery, pornography, homosexuality. Everything else is sin. And we can make excuses. Everybody else is doing fornicating. We can make excuses. Yeah, but you don't know what my life's been. Me and the wife, we ain't getting along too good at home, so I'm needing me a little. Of this pornography, or a little on the side, or something else. We can make all kind of excuses, but excuses ain't going to get us any closer to Jesus. In Matthew 7:22, Jesus gives us this little scenario of people standing at judgment. You know what they're doing? They're making excuses. Yeah, but Lord, I went to church. Yeah, but Lord, I was even a pillar in the church. Yeah, but they're making excuses. And you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:22? He said, "Depart, you who practice lawlessness." If sin continues to reign in our lives and we continue to make excuses for it, we will stand at the judgment seat of God and He will say, "Depart, you who practice lawlessness." Our excuses ain't going to get us nowhere that day. And so my suggestion today simply is, people of God, please get back into the book. Stop our sinning. Stop making excuses for sin. Repent and take the words of Jesus and go and sin no more. Amen. Friends, let's bow our heads. I know that you might be thinking, well, not talking to me today, probably talking about somebody sitting next to me or behind me, or somebody at the next church. Or you might be thinking, well, we're just one little old church in a sea of believers. But you know what? I figure we should start here. I figure we should start in this church, repenting of sin and stop making excuses for it and start living in the light of Jesus. And so I hope that today, brothers and sisters, you will go from this place listening not to Jim, but to the voice of God. Amen. Almighty God, forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for our sin. Our sin is not unlike Sodom and Gomorrah that has reached up into the heavens. Even the sin of the church, O God, has reached up into the heavens. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us for being so pride-filled that we don't want to talk to somebody else in church. We want to hold anger against them. We don't want to forgive. Forgive us for not loving our neighbor as ourself. Forgive us for using excuses for every kind of sexuality outside of the boundaries that you have established for us. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for our lust and our covetousness. Forgive us for our lying. All we say, you know what, the government doesn't really need that anyway. And we lie to the IRS. We lie to our bosses. We lie to our spouses. Forgive us for that, oh God. We need you. America needs you. Our churches need you, Heavenly Father. Our marriages, they need you, Lord. And help us to stop making excuses to bail out on our spouse or on the church are on you. But get on our face in humble surrender to you and repent. and go and sin no more and go and stop making excuses. Father God, help us. Help me. Help us to be a holy people that have been born again because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and been filled with the Holy Ghost. Help us, Father, to no longer let sin reign in us, but to say no to it. Say no to the temptations of the world and walk in the newness of life. Walk in the freshness of the Spirit. Walk as Jesus walked. Help us, Father. Beginning today, help us, Father. And may this nation see a turning to You again instead of this callous, lukewarm disregard for You and Your holiness. Glorify Your name in these, Your people, today, this week, and always, Father. Glorify Your name in us and in Your church so that we can reach out to a hurting world and actually reflect Jesus. Bless Brother Rick, MCBI Radio. Reach people through it. Use the people in this congregation, in this sanctuary this morning, Father, to bring glory to Your name this week. I pray this and all things in Jesus' name. Amen.